Hey everyone, this is Sue Marks with Food Thoughts. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're staying hydrated and throwing a lemon in there every now and then. I have a guest again. She's great. Kristen Rose, personal chef. And, when she was last here, we were talking about, I said, hold that thought. Now, how hard is that to do? But Kristen, first of all, thank you for being here. And how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Sue. Thanks for having me.
Good. Good. It's great. I met Kristen through for another friend. She loved Kristen. And I mean, I had no idea that you were so knowledgeable at all those things. So this is really good. And I do appreciate it very much. You know, we did, going back to the hold that thought. I think you said it was your first batch of chili for the season.
Right.
Because the weather kind of dropped?
Because the weather is finally into the fall season. Mm-hmm. Fall is my favorite season. And just, I think everyone's ready once that chilly air hits you and you can wear a sweater. You're kind of ready to start making chili and soups and stock. So this is the season to kind of get your stock pots out and get cooking some healthy food.
Yeah, good. And yeah, it's kind of like it was so hot for so long.
Yes.
I've never been so happy for fall to arrive. You know, it's crazy. So, amen. So you made chili. Mm-hmm. So talk to us about creating a nice stock that's a base for going forward making soups, for example.
Well, the easiest stock to make, and if you have a vegetarian or a vegan in your life, is just a vegetable stock. People say you can just throw anything, your scraps, into your stock. And you can, but you also want to be careful that those scraps are high-quality scraps that you've cut to make other things. Basically, you need celery, carrots, onion. Leeks are fantastic for a vegetarian stock.
Mm-hmm.
If you put something like broccoli in it, then you might want to intend to use it to use with the broccoli soup because that's a very strong vegetable.
Yeah,
so you just kind of want to stay with those basics. And it's water and some spices. You can tie them up or you can just put them in whole because you're going to strain this when it's done. Mm-hmm. And that'll cook for probably about 3 hours. And then you have vegetable stock that you can freeze into cup portions if you want it for a sauce, or you can freeze a couple quarts that you can take out of your freezer and use when you're ready to make a soup. So the vegetable stock is very easy. A lot of people like to use their crock pots for that as well. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, now there's the new Instapot, which I do not own an Instapot, but did have to learn how to use one for a client who was making a lot of bone broth. So that's a great way to make your stock as well.
Tell me about bone broth really quickly. What is the draw? The flavor? The protein?
The flavor, the protein. Supposedly the collagen is high. There's been a lot of studies with that. So it just depends on where you are on that spectrum. But it's a great healthy way of getting some protein into you if you're doing intermittent fasting, or if you have special dietary needs, as I had with this client, it was very important for her to just ingest a lot of bone broth along with water each day. So it's a healthy alternative if you're on the go.
And so bone broth, you're going to get a bunch of bones and cook them.
Right, right.
And the marrow is cooked out, in other words.
You can probably use, for example, a chicken. You can probably use your chicken twice. So you would put your chicken in your Instapot or your crock pot or on the stove, whatever method you would like to use. Make your stock, use your chicken from that, but you can save those bones and then use that again to make bone broth as well.
Oh, my goodness.
So you could freeze those bones and then in a couple weeks later, take them back out and reuse them again.
Interesting.
I know.
Recycling.
Not wasting anything.
Reduce, reuse, right. Recycle. That is awesome. Wow. And so, how do you keep your stock for a small amount? With an ice cube tray?
You could do an ice cube tray if you wanted to. You could go as far as doing that. And that would be great if you just need, say, a quarter of a cup of stock for a quick sauce,
mm-hmm.
or a half a cup. Because you're probably, you know, if you're cooking for four people, you're probably not going to have too much you're not going to need too much stock. And if you're cooking for one or two, then you definitely want to freeze it in smaller amounts.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you can use the heavy duty Ziploc bag so that it can lay flat and you can stack more, or you can use containers. It just depends on what your freezer looks like.
Space planning.
Right.
Oh, so you would lay it flat. It's going to freeze that way. And then super smart. That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's another thing. It's like.
Well, and then you're ready to make chicken noodle soup, right? So your stock is already ready. If you made chicken stock, it's in your freezer or in your fridge if you plan on using it later on that week. Then you just can warm it up, chop your vegetables, add your noodles and some chicken, and there you go. You have dinner.
Cool. That's good. So what about, like, beef stroganoff? Is that something that you make a sauce for that, or?
Well, that recipe has a sauce that's kind of incorporated as you're making something.
You just
like
kind of
that.
Creates itself.
Right. And there's a ton of great recipes out there. You just have to type in an ingredient and 1,000 things will show up.
What is your go-to? What do you love? How do you love finding recipes?
I get inspired by a lot of things. I really love the website Food 52. They sell products as well. But their recipe bank is very wide, and I'm always finding something that looks delicious on there. And whether I like everything in the dish or not, it's a great place to start to get inspiration from. A couple years ago when the sheet pan meals became very big, I think they're still very popular to just feed a crowd quickly. They always have really great sheet pan recipes. I think there was one that I bookmarked and have not traveled back to, because now that we're going into the season of making large roasted pans of food, I want to say it was chicken with figs and like a panzanella bread. So you're roasting the bread along with the onions, and it just looked absolutely delicious all in one pan, and then you have a great meal. So that's one of my favorite websites.
What's it called?
Food 52. Food 52. And if I'm just looking to make something basic that I haven't done in a while, or if anyone is looking to make something basic, how do you roast a chicken? The person to look up on the internet is Ina Garten, the Barefoot Contessa. I love her recipes.
They
turn out
too.
Perfect every single time.
She's totally awesome.
She's fantastic. Her method for roasting shrimp works every single time. 400 degrees, 8 minutes, they're perfect. And it turns out perfect every time. So sometimes I'll roast the shrimp and then throw it quickly into a pasta that I may have going. Or you can just serve that roasted shrimp along with whatever cocktail sauce or dip you like, and that makes a great appetizer for...
So 400 degrees.
400 degrees, 8 minutes. Large shrimp, tail on, deveined. They'll be perfect.
She is awesome.
She is.
She's done lots of great stuff, and I love her cookbooks.
She keeps it simple, and that's important.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the way she cooks and how she's learned to cook is very genuine, and I think that reads true for people. And so you kind of trust what she says.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And when you actually pull one of her recipes and you make it, it turns out perfect every time.
So, yeah, she's a winner. That's an awesome.
She's a winner.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, I love her cookbooks. They're beautiful. They're beautiful. They're great. You're right. Wonderful recipes.
And she's always roasting a chicken for Jeffrey. So if you want to roast a chicken too, you need to look up her recipe.
She's awesome. So what soups are you going to make this fall? Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Have you thought about that yet?
I can't wait. One of my favorite, well, and some of my clients, and it's my daughter's favorite soup. I have already made one batch for her because she wanted it so badly, is butternut squash apple soup.
Mm.
And it's actually vegan. It uses water instead of any stocks. And it's very simple. It uses curry powder, onions, butternut squash, apples, water, and you let it cook down and then puree it. And then I finish it with a little bit of fresh nutmeg that I just grate over the top. And that's a really delicious soup. It's very filling, very hearty. It's a great one to serve at the holiday season, either Thanksgiving or Christmas. So usually I make a ton for myself and others at this season. Another one of my favorite soups is, oh gosh, I have too many favorites. I just made for a volunteer group Tuesday, and this is not my recipe. This came from another blogger, Little Spice Jar. She has fantastic recipes. It's a creamy chicken and wild rice soup, and it's made in your crock pot, and it's your mirepoix, which is your onions, celery, carrots, wild rice, probably about a pound and a half of chicken, stock.
So what do you mean a pound and a half of chicken?
So that's about one and a half large chicken breasts.
Okay.
Is about what that comes out to be.
Okay.
So it's really, if you don't have a lot of chicken in your house, this soup will feed a crowd with just that small amount. So you leave it in your crock pot with the spices and the bay leaves, and then when it's done, you take out the chicken and shred it, put it back in, and then you make a quick brew. I usually use gluten-free flour in case I don't know if someone's gluten-free. And then you stir that back in, and it's finished. And it's just comforting and delicious. And the other night, my crock pot was empty when I went home. So it was went over very well. So I really like to make that. And I have a new recipe that I haven't tried yet because I'm still waiting for some of the amounts. I went to a girls' grown-up camp last weekend in North Carolina, and the chef there is wonderful. She makes the best food. And every year I look forward to her lentil soup. She makes a lentil soup. It's a vegan lentil soup, and it has coconut milk in it and the lentils and some carrots and onion, a little lentil sweet soup. Chili. It is really so delicious. So I'm waiting to get the recipe for her, and then I will be making that pretty quickly.
Are you a vegan?
No, but I work with a couple of vegan clients, and I do like a lot of vegan food, and I see myself trending more that way. I eat everything. I'm more of an omnivore, but we don't really eat that much meat in my household. Just more smaller portions, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But I lean towards vegetarian a lot. And
well, the thing is, once you find a flavor, you know, just like right. that particular soup,
mm-hmm.
you don't really need.
You don't. And it's really healthy. I think we all need to have more vegetables in our lives. I don't think I could ever fully be vegan completely 100% of the time because I love Parmigiano Reggiano so much and goat cheese. And I may have a little bit of bacon every once in a while in a recipe. And those are just a few things that I don't think I could give up long term.
You can't cross it off the list.
If I can't cut me cook with pancetta again, that would be really heartbreaking. So there's a few things that I would have to probably cheat a little bit on, but mostly I'm trending towards a complete plant-based diet. So,
but the beauty is learning to use spices in order to create these great flavors, and you're not missing anything.
Right. And this is a great time of year to get cooking with soups and stews and those type of things because it's a great way to experiment different flavor profiles, try a new vegetable. It's a great way to incorporate that into putting a vegetable in even just a vegetable soup. Just put something new like diced up rutabaga. Your kids may really actually like it or your spouse.
I've never had it
or
before.
Something like that. And yeah, it's just a great way to get good nutrition into you fast. And it's always good to make a big batch so that you can freeze it for really busy nights when no one has time to even blink. So
what do you serve with a lentil soup?
I would probably serve either some roasted vegetables this time of year or a salad.
Okay.
And that would round out your meal. But everything is honestly in that soup. You almost probably don't really need anything else.
Because I have a, I gave this recipe to my girlfriend and she gave it back to me after like several years. And this is a lentil soup with sausage in it. And,
oh, nice.
You know, I mean, it's awesome. But it's certainly not vegan, you know,
no.
But it's very tasty.
But it could
tasty.
Be if you take the sausage out. Know what else is in the recipe.
But, I mean, sage probably would that create the flavor from the sausage? Or fennel, or?
You could use fennel and sage instead of, I mean, I'm sure it's in, if the sausage is in there and it's imparting those flavors into the soup, you could just leave out the sausage and use those spices.
Mm-hmm. So once again, I think it's all about educating yourself and just, you know, just going forward and doing that
right.
kind of thing. Yeah. Because I picture your kitchen as having like, you know, little, just this container here, this, you know, I don't know. I'm never
it's
prepared.
It's fairly small, so I have to be creative with my storage. So actually I do have several little cachet pots that have wooden spoons. I have a thing about whisks, so I have a million whisks. And then my other tools. So that's really ready for me to use because I don't really have a drawer for a lot of utensils. So they're right there in front of me. A little thing of kosher salt, my pepper grinder, and a bottle of good olive oil. And that's right there on the counter ready for me to use. So that's kind of what it looks like.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And what about breakfast? What is your favorite breakfast food?
I still really, I like the toast movement that happened in the last couple of years, the avocado toasts and the almond butter toasts. I was just talking with some people today. I have a friend who's a health and wellness coach, and we created a group called Women on Wellness this past year, and we're getting ready to start planning our event for January. But last January, our event, I created some toasts for people to try. So I did a goat cheese with roasted beets and cherries and a little thyme. And then an almond butter toast I'd been making before toast became really popular and cool. You can take whatever bread that you like, English muffin, a piece of whole wheat bread, you know, gluten-free, whatever you have. And then you put some almond butter on it, some flax seeds or super seeds mix, and then fresh raspberries you just kind of mush on top. And that's really delicious. And that's easy to grab on the go. And then, of course, the classic avocado toast with smashed avocado, a little bit of sea salt, and I like to put fresh chopped tomatoes on mine. So that's a really good quick breakfast. Lately, my daughter's been eating a lot of oatmeal, so
me too.
Put blueberries in mine. She doesn't like the blueberries in hers. She'd rather eat them on the side. So we'll do a little bit of plain organic oatmeal with milk, tiny bit of maple syrup and cinnamon, and that's it. So very quick and easy, and that's something you can make ahead. If you do the steel cut oats, you can put in your freezer in portions and just grab it out the next morning.
Exactly. Yeah,
so gives you good energy.
It does. You can last a long time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool. It's good.
Yeah,
I've been doing oatmeal this week.
And then a scrambled egg. Nothing beats a scrambled egg for me. A lot of times on the weekends, I'll make scrambled eggs for my husband and I. And sometimes the kids want it. Sometimes they don't. But sometimes on a Saturday morning, I just whip that up really quick and we're ready to go.
The avocado toast. So do you just mash the avocado? That's it?
Mm-hmm.
That's it?
I just have it and then cut it into cubes and divide it amongst my toasts and then smash it down and add a little sea salt. And then I put chopped tomatoes on top.
Easy peasy.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. You're eating a colorful breakfast, too.
I know. I was going to say, and it's beautiful. Red.
It is.
Yeah.
Unless you open your avocado, and it's not a very good avocado. And then there you go. Plan B.
That's life. Sometimes that happens.
Right.
And what kind of toast? What kind of bread?
Lately, my kids have really been into the good old-fashioned sourdough English muffin. So that's kind of been the base of toast at our house.
Okay. All right, cool. So tell me about, are you going to make any curry soups?
Well, the butternut squash has curry in it. So that's one that I like to use all the time. And then this lentil soup, I believe, this recipe that I'm waiting on has some curry going on as well. It's kind
really?
Of like a Thai flavor base.
Right.
What else do I use curry in? Not a whole lot for soups. but I'll use curry in other dishes too. So.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about your clientele. You're a personal chef. What kinds of things do you end up doing?
Well, it really just depends on what someone's needs are. I'm just kind of curious about that. So some people have found me because they have a dietary constraint and someone has referred me to them. I've worked with clients who have fibromyalgia, and I've worked with people who are trying to be gluten-free. I have a client right now that I'm doing some in-home lessons with, and she's just trying to learn how to cook healthy again. Instead of using a processed flavor packet, we're actually cooking something more from scratch. So it just depends. I'm working with a family this fall, and I give them lists of recipes, and then they choose what they like me to make for them for the week. And I do some dinners for them. So my clientele just kind of ranges on what people need. So,
which do you love doing? It's great.
All of them, because it's different and every person is different. And I kind of feel, I get really connected to my clients and really try to figure out what their needs are. And I really kind of cater to them. And that's kind of the point. If you're going to take the time and the money to hire a personal chef, they should be doing for you what you need them to do.
Right, right.
And the more you work with someone, the more you get to know their likes and dislikes and what they're allergic to or what they can't have and those type of things. So,
and you really feel that you're providing a service for
absolutely.
them.
Absolutely. Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's just as much fun for me as it is for them. So
exactly. You are giving something, your knowledge to them, in other words. So that's cool. That's really good. It's kind of neat. Awesome. What else? So what are you going to be doing for Thanksgiving?
Oh, Thanksgiving. We need to do just a whole Thanksgiving show.
Okay.
We'll have to do that sometime.
Okay.
Thanksgiving.
Have you thought about it yet?
Oh, a little bit. We usually go to my sister's house, which is in northern Indiana, and my brother-in-law is a fabulous cook. So there are certain things that we always make, as most families do, that's traditional. For several years, we talked about just forget the main and let's just do side, like a whole Thanksgiving side dish. I kind of have a fantasy about that. Like, we're just doing side dishes and appetizers this year and that's it. I think that would be really fun.
Because there's so many and they're all unique and fantastic.
And fun, right?
Yeah.
So we like to try to introduce new things every year. There's always some type of Brussels sprout dish going on. There's always my brother-in-law's sausage stuffing, which is so good. I just eat it one time a year. So it's just so fantastic. And always mashed potatoes are on the table.
Yes.
Let's see what else. We've really kind of steered away from turkey in the last few years. And now that my daughter's older, she doesn't really need to see a turkey on the table. You know, when they're little, they loved that whole drama of turkey. We've smoked a capon in the past. Last year we did salmon, which was awesome. And I think we also did a pork loin one year. So we do have some traditional things and some not so traditional things. And every year I do some type of green salad, some type of fall salad. I kind of mix it up every year just to be different. So we'll see what I come up with this year.
When you said green, how about green beans? Talk to me about green beans.
Green beans?
Who doesn't love green beans?
They're not my favorite, honestly. I like them roasted, but I could do without green beans. They need to kind of be incorporated. I know people love that green bean Campbell soup thing.
Yeah, I know. That's what made me think of it, but no.
No. But if you love it and that's part of your Thanksgiving tradition, you should make it and eat it and enjoy it for sure. But I just think there's more choices out there.
Oh.
Try roasting those Brussels sprouts and just the balsamic vinegar and a little Parmesan, and that's a great side dish for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Or some, you know, green beans with almonds. Mm-hmm. And yeah,
just
there's a
blanch
million.
Them and toss it with some blanch your green beans. You can do that 2 days before because Thanksgiving is the make ahead holiday extravaganza. So everything should really be made ahead. So you can blanch your green beans and hold them. And then when you get ready to finish them, put some shallots, butter, and olive oil in a pan. Warm those up, get them nice and softened, and then toss the green beans in that mixture, and then plate it with some almonds would be a great side dish for Thanksgiving and very easy.
And still it would be green beans.
Right.
You know.
Minus the Campbell's soup.
Yeah. That's we all grew up with that, and it's I don't know, it's almost a cliche.
We did all grow up with that, and it is. It's an Americana thing, and it's and there is a place for it, for sure. Just not on my Thanksgiving table.
moving away. Oh, my gosh. What else was I going to ask you? Well, what about Halloween? We have 3 minutes left. So what are you closing? Talk to me about Halloween. Any special foods? Any?
You know, I would love
something fun or crazy. Or
we should get the neighborhood together to do something before we all trick or treat, which I think would be great. A lot of times I just try to get something healthy and hearty in my children, especially if we happen to have a rainy night, and that's happened many times. Sometimes I'll make just quick, crispy pancow chicken, like fingers, and put those in the oven and have a little honey mustard dip for them that I do. Sometimes I'll make chili, or sometimes I'll just make good old fashioned creamy tomato soup and just get that in them before trick or treating. Just something warm and hearty. That would be my tip before they start sneaking candy between houses.
That's the game.
That's,
you know,
the game, right?
Yes.
Slow down that sugar rush.
Oh my gosh, it's crazy, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And okay, so creamy tomato soup. How do we do that, real quick?
Saute some onions, let them cook down a little bit so that they kind of get a little color on them.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it brings out the sweetness of that. Add a little garlic and toast up a little smoked paprika in that oil. Then tomatoes, some chicken stock, or you could use vegetable stock. Let that come together. And then I take my immersion blender and blend it up. And then I add some half and half, and you're done.
Wow, that's fantastic. Very nice. Very nice. Creamy, wonderful.
Yep.
And warm.
And it freezes well.
That's
served with some homemade croutons or whatever bread you have around your house.
Yeah, some French bread on the side, maybe.
Or make that grilled cheese sandwich. There you go.
Yeah, grilled cheese sandwiches.
With tomato soup, it's the best.
It is. Absolutely. Hear, hear to that. You know, that's another traditional thing if you think about it, but it's great. So, well, you know what? We have to go.
Oh,
already. This is what happens. You know, you just get into it, and then time flies when you're having fun, I guess. So I want to thank you for being here. I've learned a ton of things today.
Well, thanks for having me. It's really fun. I could talk about food anytime.
I've learned so many things today. And I mean, I just think, you know, if not so much moving into being a vegan, but the way you prep everything to incorporate herbs and spices, you're going to create something simple and beautiful that you want to go back and do again.
Yes.
And that is a wonderful thing. So, yeah, we all need to kind of just, I don't know, traditional and all the things, the webs that we're caught in, for example, you know. But just to kind of free up that, you've helped me understand that a little bit is what I'm saying today. So, and I do appreciate that very much. Yeah, it's awesome.
So I hope you do something new in your kitchen this week.
I'm going to concentrate on spices.
And that bok choy.
And the bok choy. Those were the next words that are coming out of my mouth. I'll report back or send you a picture of it. I can't wait. You know,
great.
It's going to be awesome.
I'll see that.
Yeah. But listen, Kristen Rose has been here. She's been wonderful. And I hope you've all have learned a lot just like I have today. And everyone, please have a good week. Thanks for being here, Kristen.
Thank you.
And talk to you soon at Sue Marks with Food Thoughts. Bye-bye.